on the fentanyl crisis.
Things are looking good at the moment.
Severe storms could put a damper on your holiday travel today. Heavy rain is hammering parts of the Deep South and affecting several states along the East Coast. Odyssey New York meteorologist Craig Allen is tracking that system.
There are wind advisories in effect from western sections of New York into western Pennsylvania, right down through West Virginia, all the way on down to the Gulf Coast.
Tornadoes are possible in Louisiana and Mississippi. And police in Colorado say three people are dead and a fourth is in critical condition following a shooting near the town of Westcliff. Custer County Sheriff Rich Smith.
We've already been contacted by some of the people who are most likely the victims' families, and I really want to say to them, I'm very sorry that this happened.
Sheriff Smith says they are still looking for the shooter. CBS News Brief, I'm Monica Ricks.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell at the state capitol. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Supreme Court hearing arguments in a lawsuit today challenging the state's Republican legislative maps. Lawyer Mark Gaber, arguing for the petitioners, says the Wisconsin Constitution is clear.
Each assembly district must consist of contiguous territory. That is to say, it cannot be made up of two or more pieces of detached territory. And then it went on to say that this requirement was, quote, absolutely binding.
The court will decide whether Wisconsin's maps are gerrymandered to the point of being unconstitutional. Mild weather made for a slower opening weekend for Wisconsin's annual 9-day gun deer hunt compared to last year. The Department of Natural Resources says the harvest for this year's first 2 days was about 16% off from last year. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Brothers bringing the taste of Texas to Stevens Point with a breakfast taco food stand will close for the season soon. Here's Brittany Merlot.
Amigos Tacos in Stevens Point opened the truck about a month ago. Open every day from 7 a.m. until 1:30 p.m. in the District 1 Brewing Company parking lot. They'll remain open through tomorrow. Then they are closing for the winter and will return for business in the spring.
Renowned organist George Filty will perform at McMillan Memorial Library on Wednesday from 1 to 3 in the Fine Arts Center. Team game day will take place from 2 to 4. Remember, the library will be closed Thursday and Friday this week. The Rekindle the Spirit Parade will take place Wednesday night from 5:45 to 7:30 in downtown Wisconsin Rapids. The parade starts at 3rd Avenue and will cross the Grand Avenue Bridge, ending at Lincoln Street by the Hotel Mead, where you can get pictures with Mr. and Mrs. Claus. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane-powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
The Packers prepare for the Lions. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers back at practice after the win over the Chargers. But from the training room, 16 players listed on the Packers injury report, 6 unable to practice. Banged up maybe, but not quitters, says wide receiver Christian Watson.
I mean, I think that we just showed it again, but what we already knew, we knew that, you know, we were fighters and we were going to keep on battling to the last second. I think Jay Love said that at the end, you know, we'd been on the wrong end of, you know, that battle, you know, a little too much this year, and it was just exciting that we came out on the right end this time and kept on fighting all the way to the end.
It's the Packers and the Lions Thursday morning at 11:30. NBA, the Bucks dominate the Wizards 142-129. Giannis with 42 points. Chris Middleton, still recovering from that knee surgery, had 18 points, surpassing Michael Redd, and now Sidney Moncrief for the fourth highest career score in team history.
No, shout out to Michael Redd, shout out to Sidney Moncrief. To come out here and pass those legends, it means a lot.
That's the Bucks' Chris Middleton. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A blend of clouds and sun this afternoon with a high of 46. Northwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. 24 tonight, overcast. Tomorrow, highs around 43. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 46.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
A new head coach.
We got one objective and one goal, is to play for a championship.
A talented backfield.
Braylon Allen does it again.
And a defense that just...
Down he goes.
Won't...
Intercepted. He's gone.
Stop.
Another turnover forced.
Join us Saturday. Wisconsin travels to Minneapolis to battle for the Axe. Our coverage begins at 12:30 on your home for Wisconsin football. The Badger Sports Network from Learfield on Wisconsin.
The morning show on WFHR. It's informative.
Have neither of you been on sleigh rides before?
Yeah, never. Never. No. I've never been on.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I've been on like dozens. Oh, no, my gosh.
We got to do it.
And I don't even like winter.
What kind of life are you living, we Seth?
He was way up in the... He was in the, like, really...
Northern Minnesota. Yeah, I mean, come on.
Every neighbor has a sleigh in their barn.
Big words from someone from Toma.
Oh, it's on now, bro.
Every weekday from 8 to 10 on Locally Grown Radio.
Emergency medical unit, respond to 102 Maple Avenue. Possible stroke victim.
When stroke occurs, you have 60 minutes to win or lose the race of your life. There are new treatments, but you must get to a hospital fast. If you suddenly feel weakness on one side, have trouble speaking, walking, or seeing, it could be a stroke. Call 911. Get to a hospital.
Have you ever wondered why there's a NASCAR driver statue in this area? It's for Wisconsin Rapids native Dick Trickle. One of the first from the state to make it to the national circuit, Trickle was named the winningest short track driver in history. Along with a statue, he has several races here and across the country named in his honor. For Locally Grown Radio, WFHR, I'm Terry Barr.
Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. You're going right to the front lines of history in the making. A lot of it made, a lot of it's being made. This is Thanksgiving week. You think everybody take a rest. Well, they're not taking a rest. A lot going on. I want to start with the gag order that Judge Tanya Chutkan imposed on Donald Trump after he continued to threaten and attack witnesses. Potentially he'll do it with jurors. Prosecutors. He appealed it. The Court of Appeals stayed the gag order while they reviewed it. Now the oral argument is done and they're about to prepare their order. And I want to go over what exactly is at issue and what I think they should do. What is always at issue in a gag order is the conflict between freedom of speech and keeping the integrity and safety of the courts. There's always a tension. Because unlike authoritarian regimes, unlike Russia, China, much of the Middle East, except for Israel, we have absolute freedom of speech, freedom of the press, and it's a very, very serious thing when it's reined in at all, when there's what's called the prior restraint. But there is circumstance where you have to protect the integrity of our court system, the safety of witnesses, the safety of jurors, and the safety of court staff. And that was the interface that the Court of Appeals was facing. Now, a lot of the pundits after that oral argument came out and said, well, it looks like they're going to agree with the gag order, but narrow it. I don't agree with that. I don't think they have to narrow it at all, and I'll tell you why. The area of narrowing that most people are punditing about is that somehow Jack Smith, the prosecutor, will be removed from the protection of the gag order. Trump is already attacking the judge. She was not part of the gag order. It's very, very clear that under the gag order, he was permitted to continue to claim that the Justice Department was politically prosecuting him, even though that is false. He could target the president. He could target Merrick Garland. But what he can't do is target witnesses and say that, name them and say that their testimony at depositions and that in front of the grand jury, if it's leaked, is false. They're perjuring themselves. They're attacking him. He can't do that. I think that part of it will be sustained by the Court of Appeals. But the part of it that I don't agree with if they lift the protections for Jack Smith is this. You can't ignore the fact that Trump has tens of millions of followers on Truth Social, probably on X, formerly known as Twitter, other social media platforms. This is not just a random defendant who shoots his mouth off and nobody's paying any attention. When Donald Trump says and texts something or likes a text that involves violence or involves attacks on Jack Smith, that's seen by tens of millions of people, tens of millions of people. That's a lot of people. I think the New York metro area is 12 million people. Tens of millions of people is a lot of people. There is a direct correlation between Trump's threats and death threats and other kinds of conduct against the people he threatens. Fannie Willis in Atlanta said that she had gotten so many death threats after he went after her. She was called the N-word, she said, more often than she's ever heard it before. Right after Trump attacked Tanya Chutkan, a woman called, said he was gonna, she was going to kill her. Once he attacked, if you remember this, he attacked the media during the last campaign, this 2015 campaign, attacked them as enemies of the people, and CNN had a bomb threat. There was a judge out in the New Jersey, New York area who was tracked down by somebody, and when her son answered the door, he was shot dead. There's a judge, a good friend of mine in the Northern District of Illinois, whose husband and mother were murdered in their home by somebody who wanted to retaliate against the judge. There is a direct line of continuity between Trump's attacks. And, you know, he never says, for instance, I will kill you. Nobody ever says that. That, by the way, is a criminal offense. You don't need a gag order. He'll say that Jack Smith is a terrible person, biased. He's going to destroy the country. And tens of millions of people hear that. And there are death threats. Jack Smith had to sell his home, move his family, and Trump attacks the wife too, into a protective environment. So I got news for the Court of Appeals. Do not limit it so that he can attack Jack Smith. And you, the second thing you should do is, in your opinions, start to tell it like it is. He's sly and he's cunning and he attacks obliquely. Cindy of Appleton, my friend, thanks for calling. Cindy, what's in your mind today?
Well, maybe they should put a big pacifier in the man baby's mouth and maybe he'll shut up. But seriously, this man has incited an insurrection. What more do we need?
No, you're absolutely right. You know, if you're on the Court of Appeals and you take a look at his history and the direct correlations one-to-one between insulting people in a very harsh way without coming right out and saying, I want one of my people to kill you, he has tens of millions of people and they will make death threats. This is not a First Amendment issue. He's running for president. That entails responsibilities too. So yeah, he has First Amendment rights, but he does not have a First Amendment right to try to intimidate the prosecutor, judges, witnesses, or anybody else. This is not a difficult decision. Back to the lines. Andrew of Detroit, my friend, thanks for calling. Andrew, what's in your mind today?
Hey, good afternoon, Matt. Harrison Floyd down in Georgia, who threatened those two poll workers, those two ladies, because right. He continued to threaten them after his indictment, he's now been locked up. He's now been locked up because under the conditions of his indictment and arraignment, you don't need a gag order. You just go. But the reason they're doing this with the former president is they've got to be very careful that it doesn't look ever, like they're trying to limit his freedom of speech and running for his election. Because if it ever looked like that and it gets to the Supreme Court looking like that, you know what those tarantulas will do. So I understand why they're being careful with him, but just like Harrison Floyd, they could lock him up until the trial. Thanks, Matt. Bye.
Yeah, you know, you hit the nail on the head. And here's the deal. There is a guy, a co-defendant, you just named him, of Trump, who had attacked those poll workers and kept doing it. And he right now is in the Who's Gal. He right now is being fed courtesy of the state of Georgia in a jail. And he's not going to be let out until his trial, for the very simple reason that he is threatening people who are the victims and are witnesses. And Andrew is exactly right. In the conditions of bail, and now remember something, there's a right to bail in the Bill of Rights. It's not unlimited. Somehow that's circumvented by setting a bail so high nobody could meet it, $10 million. Well, you know, very few people can meet that. On the other hand, there are releases on their own recognizance or on the payment of a smaller sum. And, you know, Trump, by the way, is out on bail in several courts. I don't know if you knew that. He has been arrested, arraigned, and then he's released. That's out on bail. Sometimes a small amount of bail. But there are also other conditions that he has to do. He has to show up in court for appointed times, and he also can't threaten witnesses and other things. So Andrew's right. You could go after him for that. And with the gag order, when he does it again, the minute that Chutkan stayed the order, he attacked Jack Smith again and Chutkan. He reinstated it, and then the Court of Appeals stayed it, and then he attacked Jack Smith again. And he attacks the wife. He always attacks a vulnerable entity. I mean, in New York, he attacks the law clerk. The law clerk, she has no right to run the case. She's not running the case. We never do that in the Democratic Party. We do not threaten Trump's wife, his children. We don't do that. It's reprehensible. But he does do it. And Andrew's exactly right. Why is Trump not being treated the same way as the guy who's in jail in Georgia? He's a non-entity. Nobody really knows him. He's in a jail cell. Trump has attacked Fannie Willis and other witnesses much worse than this guy attacked Shea Moss and Ruby Freeman. It's because the other guy is not prominent. No one knows. No one cares. And there is a potential downside. This is a tough decision. Do you legitimize Trump in the eyes of his base by putting him in jail? You can tell him to show up, and then you put him in jail. If you put him in jail for what's called criminal contempt, you have to have another trial in front of another judge over that. He'd love that. He'd love that. If you put him in jail for violating the terms of his release pending trial, that's a different story. He would lumber down the hall, and a lot of the Trump MAGA base would go nuts. Do you inadvertently get him more votes by putting him in jail? Or do you find him and he blows it off? The usual amounts, 10, 20 grand. Do you find him $5 million? Do you find him $50 million? This judge and this Court of Appeals has a great deal to take into account. Well, coming up, a secret meeting between Mike Johnson and Donald Trump. What was that all about?
Night rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
You're listening to...
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane-powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org.
This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
And the other fact that can now be confirmed. Reliable source, Mrs. Crudy. Derek Van Orden's staff will offer you a beer, Miller Lights. At least they're not Bud Light. At 10:30 in the morning. DC on a Thursday.
DC, tell us, 9:30 Central, Crudy. That's pretty early.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Serving Central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
7, 8, 9. Well, very mysterious. Last night, Speaker Michael Johnson met with Donald Trump in Mar-a-Lago. There's been no report on what was discussed. Nobody reported on why they met. There was a fundraiser for Republican congressmen in Mar-a-Lago. Mike Johnson, I suppose, went there to support that congressman, but he met with Donald Trump. Now, consider a few things, and then I'm going to tell you why I think he met with Donald Trump. First of all, Johnson endorsed Trump last week for president. Second, he served on Trump's impeachment defense team. Third, he voted against certifying Joe Biden as president. He voted against accepting the duly appointed electoral votes from each of the states. In turn, Trump endorsed Michael Johnson for speaker. Remember that Tom Emmer of Minnesota was the guy who won the initial vote in the caucus? Trump called him a, quote, globalist rhino, a globalist rhino, and endorsed Mike Johnson. Now, Tom Emmer got the most votes in the Republican caucus, more than half of them. So under the Hastert rule, they should have put his name out there. He would have gotten 130, 50 Republican votes, and he would have gotten enough Democratic votes to put him over. But the Republicans have passed a Trump rule that trumps the Hastert rule, no pun intended. And they wouldn't put anybody on there unless he had a majority of the House of Representatives, which means 218 votes out of 221 Republican votes. That means that any four Republicans could sink him. And that's what they did with Tom Emmer. And then we ended up with Michael Johnson. Now, what's behind this? When you have a guy like Trump, who's leading in the Republican polls, only because look how pathetic their field is. You think Vivek Ramaswamy has a shot? Like to think that Chris Christie did, as much as I disagree with him, at least he's sane, but he's at a couple of percent in the polls. DeSantis is a strange ranger, okay? That's all I can say about DeSantis. You do not want him as president. Nikki Haley, everybody goes, oh, Nikki Haley, Nikki Haley. She doesn't have a snowball chance in you know where. I don't want her as president. I don't want Trump as president. There's nobody in the Republican Party who's a strong leader. And if you think Trump is strong, I'm not talking about insanity, fraud, vengeance, and destruction of our democracy is strong. That is not strong. I think what went on is they are already planning a shadow government the way they do in England. When, say, the conservatives are in, there's a Labour shadow government. In other words, there's a shadow prime minister, shadow defense minister, and so on. And if they win, then they just go in those positions. That's what the Republican Party is doing now. They decide that Trump will be their nominee, and what they are going to do is take direction from him. And that's just what they did. Mike Johnson is going to take direction from Trump and what he does on another continuing resolution, on foreign policy appropriations, and he is gone to the shadow president as the actual speaker, unfortunately. There should be a lot more investigative reporting on what went on in that meeting. Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend, thanks for calling. Bill, what's in your mind today?
I got to ask you, what do you think is the breakdown in this country with the failure to let this guy stay on the loose and not have him temporarily incarcerated while this goes on? In other countries, I don't know if this should go on. Now, you just mentioned a little while ago that they just want to walk this tightrope real carefully so his constitutional rights are not, destroyed. My point is, he has crossed the line so many times. What person other than the crazies would be upset if he was incarcerated today? What is preventing this? Is this a breakdown of our moral fiber? Is this what do you think? What do you think is the real point to the one that is the biggest problem here?
I think the judges are getting death threats, and I think that the judges are bending over backwards because this is very new territory. We've never had a president of the United States, a former president, running again who's a criminal, indicted 91 times. We just have never had it. And I think that's number one. Number two, and here's a very, very sad thing, and I don't predict it and want it, but what happens if one of these prosecutors or judges or a family member is killed? At that point, these judges may put him in jail. But you must understand something. Trump would not care if somebody were killed, because the day of the insurrection, he kept watching TV, and then he would rewind some of the violent scenes. He is a stone sociopath. Tom of West Allis, my friend, thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Tom?
Afternoon. Frightening thought. What would happen if Trump got elected and then ended up going to prison, and he made Mike Johnson his running mate?
You know something? That believe this or not, that is something that occurred to me, but you're the first guy to announce it, and so I am going to give you the honor. Tom of West Allis, I think it's not beyond the possibility that Trump picks Mike Johnson as his VP. Not beyond the possibility. He's already said that none of the current presidential candidates will be his VP. So who else is he going to pick? Johnson's a fresh face, very right wing. He would please a lot of the MAGA sorts. And the problem is, it's not so much can Trump, can he govern out of jail? There was a mayor of Boston named Curley 100 years ago who was indicted and sent to jail and still ran Boston from prison, believe it or not. He technically could do that. I'm much more concerned as he picks Mike Johnson as VP, and then his Trump's heroic arteries drown in an ocean of fat and he has a heart attack, and Mike Johnson is the president of the United States, and I don't even know the guy. I don't even know the guy. I don't know his checking account. I don't know where his congressional salary is being directly deposited. Why haven't the media figured that out? I don't know. I know what he says he believes, but he's a man of mystery. I do not want a man of mystery a president, but you heard it from Tom of West Allis. It's possible that Trump will pick him as VP. God forbid. I'll tell you what, coming up, I see you in the lines, by the way. Do not hang up. I got you. I'm getting to you ASAP. Coming up, lots of news, lots of weather, and I'm going to tell you something. You thought that the Voting Rights Act had been eviscerated by Clarence Thomas. You haven't seen anything like just came down from the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Locally grown radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Supreme Court hearing arguments in a lawsuit challenging the state's Republican legislative maps. Marquette University's Craig Gilbert says it's not clear what new maps would look like, even if the high court throws out the current maps.
Is a neutral map a 50-50 map in 50-50 Wisconsin? Or is it a neutral map, one that just pays no attention to politics and follows the geography of the state?
Gilbert spoke with the Wisconsin Eye Public Affairs Network. A judge in Chippewa Falls will decide by January if a boy accused of killing 10-year-old Lily Peters last year will be tried as a juvenile or as an adult. Lawyers for the accused teenagers say that he would be better served by Wisconsin's juvenile justice system. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Today is the two-year anniversary of the Waukesha Christmas Parade attack. Six people were killed and 60 injured when a man drove his vehicle through the parade. Governor Evers acknowledged that the attack united the people of Waukesha, Wisconsin, and people across the nation. Flags will be lowered to half-staff across the state in remembrance by order of the governor. Waukesha will hold commemorative events today to honor the victims. Aspirus Health in Wisconsin Rapids now offers orthopedic services. Four orthopedic surgeons have joined the orthopedic care team at the Aspirus Riverview Clinic. They offer care for all ages and can provide the latest in diagnosis and treatment, both surgical and non-surgical. These include care for all types of injuries and conditions that affect your joints from your foot to your shoulder. They can also perform joint replacement surgery and bone fracture repair. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
You probably heard the quote, friends are family you choose. It's also the idea behind the other Thanksgiving holiday, Friendsgiving. Some credit shows like Friends for starting this trend by featuring a day meant to celebrate with those who aren't your relatives. And when to gather is up to you. Many celebrate just before Thanksgiving, while others wait until after the official holiday. However you celebrate, all of us with your local Civic Media radio station wish you a wonderful holiday season. I'm Terry Barr.
Badgers basketball gets past Virginia. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin men's basketball team advancing to the final round of the Fort Myers tip-off tournament by beating Virginia 65-41 in Florida, a better showing than their performance at home against Robert Morris University. Badgers guard Chucky Hepburn.
You know, coming off that Robert Morris game, you know, we knew we had to fix things fast because we were going to play a great team like Virginia. And we locked in practice Saturday and Sunday. We were able to really lock in defensively, and that showed today.
So the Badgers will face SMU in the final round of the tournament, 7:30 tomorrow night. NBA, the Milwaukee Bucks with a five-game winning streak last night in Washington. It was the Bucks 142-129 over the Wizards. Adrian Griffin describes Giannis scoring 42 points.
Unstoppable. Man, he was in his rhythm tonight. He's unstoppable.
That's the Bucks head coach, Adrian Griffin. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A blend of clouds and sun this afternoon with a high of 46. Northwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. 24 tonight, overcast. Tomorrow, highs around 43. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 46.
Weather brought to you by Bug Tussle. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
Bug Tussle, we're out there.
Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than Bug Tussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, Bug Tussle has you covered. Bug Tussle has continued to serve the rural communities of Wisconsin for over 20 years by providing the most reliable, high-speed internet and excellent local customer service. Call 877-227-0924 or visit btussle.com to get started. Bug Tussle. We're out there because you're out there.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Welcome back to Matchman Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Now we'll go right to the lines. Bob Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. Bob, what's in your mind today?
Well, working at home, the pandemic sort of started the spree of working at home. And people, I think a lot of Biden's problem in the polls and so forth is just right track, wrong track. Before pandemic, after pandemic, and before pandemic, you know, the golden age of Trump, oh boy, you get all that malarkey, and then you get, you know, all this interpretation. But working at home is discouraged by employers, but desired by a lot of people. So there's a disconnect there, and that might be upsetting. It might be a factor upsetting people overall that transfers on to the presidency and stuff like that, because we just blame everything on the president anyhow. And so a lot of people would like to save gas, money, improve the environment and the climate and everything, and get a more comfortable work style are being stopped by the bosses. And I think, you know, somebody ought to give them a help or a right or something like that, that maybe a day or two at home per week or something like that, depending on what kind of worker they are. If they're office workers, that should be a piece of cake. What do you think?
Yeah, no, it's a good point you're making. In other words, the pandemic and then the isolation over a couple of year period has really affected society. First of all, it's affected it in education. It's obvious that students suffered, that their performance suffered. You know, it's asking grade school kids to attend classes on Zoom. They're sort of fidgeting around. If they had parents who were home and really could supervise them, fine, but a lot of them didn't. It cost us a couple of years' education. As far as working, there's a disconnect. Obviously, some manufacturing, the workers can't do it at home. You know, in restaurants, they can't do it at home. In offices, they can. And in a lot of cases, you know, there have been firms that have said, look, you got to come in at least 3 days a week, and people don't. And then they have to decide to fire them or not, blah, blah, blah. How that affects people's politics is a much deeper question. I don't know the answer to that, but I will tell you, when we talk about Biden in polls, take a look at any president against any contender. So when Obama was running, at this time, the last time when he ran for re-election, he was predicted by the major papers to lose by 8% to the ultimate Republican nominee, and then 8% to Mitt Romney, who was the nominee. And he won. Harry Truman was always low in the polls. And for a very simple reason, think about this. Most people don't remember yesterday. So Trump was there. He's a controversial guy. They do not remember everything about his presidency. All they know is that he has name recognition, much more name recognition than any other Republican, but not more than Joe Biden. Joe Biden has the same or even better name recognition, but he's the president. Anytime anyone is the president, there are some very difficult, bad things going on. You had that sadistic, genocidal attack by Hamas against Israeli citizens. Israel's response. You have Ukraine, really a European country, very, very talented country, great culture, invaded by genocidal sadists, Vladimir Putin and the Russians. This is unpleasant. You have China rattling the sword, the South China Sea, trying to take over a vast, vast, really ocean, big part of the Pacific Ocean. We have the best possible president, the most experienced president with the most wisdom to handle all of those challenges. And domestically, he's tamed inflation. He did a better job than any other country in the world. Inflation right now is effectively tamed. And it was a worldwide contagion. It wasn't just the United States. It wasn't largely the United States. It was a lot of things, the pandemic, supply interruptions, Ukraine, a lot of other things. he has done a superb job in employment. In his administration, his administration didn't do it. No president does it or does not create a job, but presidents set the tone for job creation. More than 12 million jobs have been created under Joe Biden. Under Donald Trump, it was 10% of that, maybe a little more. Under Bush and George H.W. Bush, it was a fraction of that. This is a hard fact. I'll just tell it to you. It is a fact. The economy does better, by and large, under Democratic presidents than under Republican presidents. Why is that? Do Democratic presidents create jobs? No, not personally. Neither do Republican presidents. But Democratic presidents typically preside over economic incentives, I mean, economic policies that are good for the economy. And Republican presidents tend to preside over policies that just pay lip service to slogans from the past that turn out to impede economic development, impede growth. So when you say in the polls, you have two people of high name recognition, Biden and Trump. One of them is the president. So everything that's going bad in the world is somehow attached to him, even though he has responded to it with experience and wisdom in the interest of the United States. And nothing attaches to Trump because he has no responsibility. He has no responsibility. In fact, I'm surprised the polls are as close as they are. They were a lot wider apart to Obama's disfavor, to Harry Truman's disfavor, and a lot of other ones. And that is because people gag when they hear the name of Trump. The guy is right now indicted on 91 felonies. And there is a great headline, which was Nazi curious madman under indictment for 91 felonies gives speech. You could run that as a headline for any one of Trump's rallies. So, Bob, thanks for the call. I do not know how the pandemic plays into political preferences now, but what I do know is that what we're seeing is very, very, could easily be anticipated. Biden will beat Trump. He'll beat him handily. Nobody wants to turn this over to a madman. But now I want to get to something that I alluded to leading into this. Everybody knows that Clarence Thomas stuck a knife in the Voting Rights Act in the Shelby County case 15 years ago. This is an act that was passed in the 1960s by Congress that basically said that any change in election or voting laws in a certain number of states have to be approved in advance by the Justice Department. The Supreme Court justices said, we don't need that anymore. Who are they? They're not Congress. Congress decides whether you need something anymore. But that's what happened. And as a result, we have gerrymanders. We have all these impediments, criminal prosecutions for voting in Texas, in Georgia, and Florida. But there was a section of the Voting Rights Act, Section 2, that was still left alive. And just now, the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals, three judges, two of them, two to one, the decision was. One was a Trump-appointed judge, the other a George W. Bush-appointed judge. The minority that did the right thing, the one, was also a George W. Bush judge. So two to one. Here's what they said. They said, from now on, only the United States government can bring an action under Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act, which bars racial discrimination in voting. And what it will do is only the attorney general or a state attorney general can bring an action for violation of Section 2, which with racial discrimination also involves challenges to ballot access, voting rules, and redistricting. But the vast majority of those cases forever have been filed by private parties. It's called a private right of action. The ACLU, watchdog groups, people, African-American congregations that have been discriminated against. And the case, by the way, that struck down Alabama's racial gerrymandering was brought by a private entity, not by the listen, Crooked William Barr wasn't going to bring it under Trump. You think the Attorney General of Alabama is going to bring it? No way. No way. So this Trump trial judge in 2022 said that, hey, I have an idea. There's no private right of action. Even though the U.S. Supreme Court has decided many of them already that were private rights of action. In other words, private right of action is just a fancy word for saying that a citizen or a group can bring it. So the Eighth Circuit says, no, we're going to put a stop to that. We're going to put a stop to that. The ACLU issued a statement and said, quote, this decision is a travesty for democracy. And here's what they mean. If it's upheld, it will go to the U.S. Supreme Court. What will the tarantulas do? Six tarantulas. I think five of them, led by Clarence Thomas, who's been bribed, will do what they did in Shelby County. They'll say, we affirm it. Even though most, virtually all of the cases for decades have been brought by private parties, not by attorneys general. If you leave it to attorneys general, it depends who's president, and it depends on the state. All of the states that discriminate against African-American voters in their voting regulations are Republican red states whose attorney general approves of what's going on. He's not going to bring an action. Are you kidding me? Merrick Garland will bring an action, but how many actions is he supposed to bring in all 50 states? But Crooked William Barr would not have brought that action. And when a Republican is back in, they won't bring the action. So what they're saying is, yeah, the Attorney General of New York and California can bring it for his own state. Well, they don't discriminate. They do not have any impediment to minority voting. They encourage minority voting. They encourage everybody's voting. This is a sneaky, bold, and brazen final nail in the coffin of the Voting Rights Act. The remnants of the Voting Rights Act that survived Shelby County, survived the tarantulas and the bribed justices, the Russian justices is really what they are. Those decisions are decided in advance, not in public. Not in public. And now the one remaining one, which is trying to get rid of racial discrimination in voting. Racial discrimination, access to polls, racial gerrymandering, not just regular racial gerrymandering. Laws that figure out ways to bar people in minority areas. The only time there is ever relief under Section 2 has been when a voting rights group, which is a private group with a couple of private citizens as the named plaintiffs, or the ACLU, or the NAACP, Legal Defense Fund, brings it, and they bring the facts out. What the Eighth Circuit, what these two Republican judges now have said, very sneaky, very brazen, well, yeah, we don't care that dozens of these cases have been filed over the last decades, including in the U.S. Supreme Court. Nobody said boo about this, and they said it was fine. We're just out of thin air saying it's not fine. From now on, we have shut down any attempt to enforce any kind of racial restrictions on voting because the states that do it have Republican attorneys general, and if you ever get a Republican president, it'll be shut down completely. Coming up, this is kind of amazing. If you think Crooked William Barr was a bad attorney general, wait till you hear what one of Trump's inside picks this time for attorney general has said in public.
Blood in the streets, it's up to my knee. Blood in the streets, the town of Chicago.
This is the Shaw, WAUK. Think you'd like working with us at Civic?
The Black Friday weekend sale begins this Friday at Boot Barn. Visit us in store for savings on top quality pieces. Get up to $40 off cowboy boots for men and women, $20 off select work boots, and select children's boots for under $50. We're closed Thanksgiving Day to spend with family, but we look forward to seeing you Black Friday weekend for our biggest sale of the year. Boot Barn. Unwrap the West.
Celebrate your loved ones at the annual tree lighting ceremony with Lights of Love at Aspirus Riverview Hospital, November 28th. Since 2001, this community tradition supports our area's greatest health needs. You can purchase lights on the tree in honor or memory of your loved ones. All proceeds support initiatives including substance abuse, behavioral mental health, food systems, and cancer. WFHR will broadcast live on location at 410 Dewey Street from 4:15 to 6:15 on November 28th.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, how bad do you think Crooked William Barr was? How bad do you think Lying Mike Pompeo was? How bad do you think some of those cabinet members were last time Donald Trump was president? Well, you ain't seen nothing yet. I'm going to talk about somebody on Trump's short list for attorney general if he wins this coming November. And by the way, rest easy, he's not going to win. We have Joe Biden. I'm riding with Biden, one of the best presidents we've ever had, quite frankly, and certainly the best president of any president to serve right now based on his wisdom and experience. But there's a man named Michael Davis, and I had never heard the name before. But Trump likes him quite a bit. Trump likes him so much, he has him on his short list to be appointed attorney general if he wins the presidential election. And here's what Michael Davis just said recently. Just listen to this. Quote, "I will unleash hell on Washington, D.C., getting rid of the career politicians, including President Joe Biden, and every scumball, sleazeball Biden. I will help to pardon the January 6th rioters. We're going to deport a lot of people, 10 million and growing, anchor babies, their parents, and also their grandparents. We're going to put kids in cages. It's going to be glorious. We're going to detain a lot of people in the DC gulag and in Gitmo," end quote. Now, there was a guy who was the head of the Soviet secret police named Laurentin Beria under Stalin in the 1940s. He was a sadist, a murderer. And he sent people to the real gulag. He killed people. He did whatever he wanted. But he didn't say explicitly what he was going to do. Now, one of the things that bothered me more than anything else about Trump and even his running again is he's not even making any bones about what he's going to do. He's not even hiding anything. He says he's going to get rid of some of the Constitution and jail his enemies. But this Michael Davis is on his short list for attorney general. And you may say, Matt, look, now that this has come out, how can he be confirmed in the Senate? It only Mitch McConnell changed the rules back when they controlled the Senate. And for cabinet appointments and Supreme Court justices, it only takes a simple majority. There can be no filibuster. And if you think that 51 Republicans wouldn't vote for this guy, you're sadly mistaken. It's possible that they would. And I'm going to repeat again what he said. I have never heard such a shocking and candid exposition of what an authoritarian would do, ever. Loretta Beria didn't say this. Quote, I will unleash hell on Washington, D.C., getting rid of career politicians, including President Joe Biden and every scumball sleazebag Biden. I will help pardon the January 6th rioters. We're going to deport a lot of people, 10 million and growing, anchor babies, their parents, their grandparents. We're going to put kids in cages. It's going to be glorious. We're going to detain a lot of people in the gulag, in the DC gulag, and in Gitmo. Well, I don't know how more explicit you can be. Most people deny that they put kids in cages. Most people hide it. But most people don't boast about it. Most people don't say they're going to get rid of people's grandparents. This guy is bad news. This guy is dangerous. And Trump is dangerous. Go to the lines. Tom McFarland, my friend. Thanks for calling. Tom, what's in your mind today?
Hi, Matt. You know, just to build on that, it's important to remember that Trump in and of himself is not dangerous. If he had a Congress that believed in the Constitution, heck, if we had an electorate that believed in the Constitution, this guy wouldn't be able to be elected a dog catcher. But we have to remember that, according to a recent poll, anywhere between 40 and 50% of Republicans think that it is perfectly acceptable. History where that needs to happen, where we need to toss out the Constitution in order to enact an agenda. So that's where the true danger comes in. I think Republicans, it's going to be a reckoning. At some point, not just within Trump and his followers, but just the Republican Party as a whole. And I think you're right on the money when you're stressing that this is not about a Republican Democrat. This is about freedom versus fascism. That's the only way to sum that up. If you are for the Constitution, you vote for Biden. If you are in favor of despotism, you vote for Trump. That's the only way you can frame it. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a very good way of putting it. You got to use the word. It is fascism. This is a fascist statement. It's a fascist statement. They're going to put their enemies in the gulag and in Gitmo. And let me just say this, and this is an important thing to think about. When Trump first got in, you know, he had John Kelly eventually as chief of staff. He had Mattis as defense secretary. And he had a couple of other people that, you know, you may not agree with them on everything, but they were honest and they believed in the Constitution. One by one, they quit. Now, what happens if he gets in again? And this time he doesn't put in the people that he put in, but he puts in this Michael Davis or Jeffrey Clark as the attorney general. They'll overturn any election. They'll just announce their irregularities and impound the voting machines. And to get in front of the tarantulas and sort that out is not the easiest thing in the world. Well, what's coming up? A lot of news and weather, but also oral argument in the Wisconsin Supreme Court on the gerrymander and some surprising things that were said by some of the justices and some of the surprising issues that they face.
Locally grown radio, WFHR programming, is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Ho, 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 ho! Auto Value has once again teamed up with Toys for Tots to help deliver hope to less fortunate children this Christmas. Now through December 15th, you can drop off a new unwrapped toy or cash donation at any participating Auto Value parts store. Your toy or cash donation will not only help Santa,
but also allow one more child to experience the magic of Christmas. On behalf of everyone at Auto Value and the North Pole, we thank you.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Eggland's Best.
I'm Monica Ricks. President Biden says a deal to free hostages held by Hamas is imminent.
We're now very close, it could